What's up, Eagle Country? Thanks for joining me for another edition of Crunch Time. 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation coming your way. I'm your host, Double T, Travis Thayer. And, of course, the show would not be possible without our great sponsors from OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Go online to schedule your next appointment or learn more at OrthoSensi.com. That is OrthoSensi.com. It is Monday, September 27th, and a lot to unpack on this edition of Crunch Time. The rundown is as followed. We're going to get to the girls' golf regional recap. I also have the EIAC Cross Country Championship over the weekend. We'll take a check of high school football, see how our area teams fared over the weekend. I also had the boys and girls soccer sectional draw come out last night, and we are awaiting the boys' tennis draw to come out this evening. All that and maybe a little bit more with Double T's takes at the end of the show. But without further ado, let's jump right in to girls golf regional recap. We had several young ladies from the area participating at the regional over the weekend. Actually started on Friday as there was a regional at Roncalli. Lawrenceburg participated there as a team. They did play 16th out of 18 teams with a final score of 416. And just to give you an idea of how the other schools fared in that regional, Carmel was the first place team. They shot a 301. So you can see that the competition was maybe a little bit more stiff for the Tigers, but still a great accomplishment for them to get to the regional round. Ella Shelton had a really nice round for the Tigers, their lowest score of the day, carding a 94. Par was 72 at Smock Golf Course, where that regional was held on Friday. Gracie Smith, she stayed under 100 with a 98, so a nice round for Gracie. Sydney Benson and Hannah Fox both carded a 112 for the Tigers, and Lauren Lyons, the fifth member of that team, ended her round with a 148. Also had Switzerland County's Haley Hines competing as an individual at this particular regional in Roncalli. She shot a 93, and you would think that'd be pretty close to getting her to move on to the state finals, but she was actually 14 shots off the pace to qualify for state, but still a quality round with a 93 on the card. So of the local golfers from the Roncalli Regional, none will advance to the state, but still a very nice run from the Lawrenceburg Tigers as a team and Switzerland County's Haley Hines to reach that regional round. There was another regional on Saturday of note, and this was at LaPel, and Batesville placed third with a team score of 331, only behind Hamilton Southeastern and the regional champ Noblesville, who shot a 313. So Batesville will advance to the state finals as a team. That will be a two-day event coming up at Prairie View Golf Club in Carmel this Friday and Saturday, and all teams and individuals are going to play 36 holes at the state finals. We do have the tee times for the Batesville young ladies that we're going to get to you here in just a second, but before we do that, let's run down their scores from the regional at LaPel. Emma Weiler, who has been one of the best golfers in the area, male or female, third best score of the round with a 75. Josie Meyer shooting 80 at the regional. Addison Weiler carding an 81. And Victoria Harpering and Madeline Pullman coming in with a 95 and a 111, respectively, for the Lady Bulldogs as they combine to shoot 331 and move on to the state championship. And we were able to get their tee times via IHSAA.org, and they will be teeing off on Friday, but pretty early. Madeline Pullman will have the first tee time of the five at 8:48 a.m. Victoria Harpering, she'll go off next at 8:57. Addison Weiler at 9:06. Josie Meyer at 9:15. And then Emma Weiler at 9:24. So an early start for those five young ladies. They will be playing alongside golfers from Crown Point and Center Grove. And again, 36 holes they will play over 2 days. Those are the tee times for Friday morning for any of the folks out in the Batesville area that have that morning free and want to travel up to Carmel for the state final rounds. Again, Prairie View Golf Club will be where that event is held Friday and Saturday. We do want to give a shout out to some other area golfers that competed at that LaPel Regional. Franklin County was there as a team. Their total score was 421, so they will not be advancing. Their top golfer was Nicole Mears, who had a quality round shooting a 91. Again, that still wasn't quite good enough to qualify for the state finals as an individual. Had three other individuals of note that competed at the regional. Tracy McKittrick, of Jacksonville shot a 107. Kayla Walkie of Milan shot a 114, and Emerald Simmons of Oldenburg Academy shot a 103, but all three of those young ladies having their season come to an end. But again, congratulations to all those golfers who made it to the regional round, and of course to the five young ladies from Batesville that are going to go on and represent Southeastern Indiana at the state finals this weekend. Good luck to all five of you. Hoping to see some low numbers come back from the Friday and Saturday rounds. Moving on to our next topic tonight on Crunch Time, I want to talk about the EIAC Cross Country Championship, which was held on Saturday in Batesville, and it was the Bulldogs coming out ahead again, both on the boys and girls side. So obviously a very good weekend for Batesville athletics, at least for the most part. We'll get back to that in just a second, but the girls from Batesville winning the cross country championship, and you want to have the lowest amount of points in this particular sport, and Batesville did just that with 20 points. First place beating out East Central, who came in second with 38. You had Greensburg and Rushville third and fourth, with South Dearborn finishing fifth in this five-team event. Yes, only five of the eight conference teams fielding a girls varsity cross country team. But congratulations going out to Rachel Campbell, who was actually the MVP of the cross-country season with this EIAC championship. She was first across the finish line for the East Central Trojans, a time of 20 minutes and 2 seconds, as she outpaced Lily Pinkley of Batesville. But when you look at the top 15 finishers, those top 15 will be on the all-conference team, and 12 of the 15 runners from the girls' side came from Batesville or East Central. Mentioned Campbell and Pinkley at the top 1 and 2. Batesville, you can see why they were the champions here, because they placed 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 8th overall with their particular runners. Kaylin Beadle, Megan Algeier, Ava Henson, Maria Lopez, thinking Saved by the Bell right there, and then Sophie Myers for Batesville. That was the order that they finished, taking spots 2 through 6 and 8th overall. For East Central, after Campbell in first place, Addie Brewer was 7th overall, and then places 9 through 12 were all East Central Trojans. Kendall Flume, Faith Henderson, Emily Clam, and Jocelyn Enderhees, all of those individuals making the all EIAC cross country team. Do want to note the top place getter for the South Dearborn Knights, 21st overall, was Gracie Clare. 23:30 was her time. Lawrenceburg's top placer at the EIAC meet on the girls' side was freshman Lauren Agner with a time of 23:41. She was just two spots behind Gracie Clare from South Dearborn. So now we move to the boys' side of things, also having their cross-country championship at Batesville on Saturday, and it was the Bulldogs coming out on top once again, 24 points, finishing in first. They beat out Rushville, who was in second with 55 points, so another dominant performance for Batesville. East Central was third, followed by Greensburg, Lawrenceburg, and Franklin County, tying for fifth place. South Dearborn in last with a final score of 211. So when you look at the all-conference team, from the boys' side of things in cross country, 9 of the 15 come from Batesville, East Central, Lawrenceburg, and Franklin County. Benjamin Moster was number one, the MVP of the EIAC. 16:40 was his time at the EIAC Championship. Ian Leuchinger was number two. Batesville's Jake Chapman, Darren Smith finishing in 6th and 7th place. You had Cole Benegas and Michael Schwebler coming in 8th and 9th from East Central. Grant Hensley, a junior from Lawrenceburg, placed 10th. Kyler Dalton from Batesville was 11th. And Ben Mays finishing 15th for Franklin County, rounding out the all-EIAC boys cross country team. Also had some individuals from Rushville, Connersville, and Greensburg finishing in the top 15. So again, what a weekend it was for Batesville Athletics. Their girls golf team qualifying for the state finals, have their boys and girls cross country teams crowned champions in the EIAC. And who knows? Batesville's got a great soccer program, both on the girls and boys side. They might be crowning some sectional champions here pretty soon, as the boys and girls sectional draw did happen last night. The IHSAA revealing the pairings for the girls and boys sectional, which is going to start up on October 4th. The sectional round will run through October 9th and 10th for the boys and girls. And then once they get through the regional, they will have the same dates lined up for the semi-state and the state finals. You can see that over at EagleCountryOnline.com. Right now, we just want to talk about the actual pairings as you are listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Trimba, conveniently located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need. You can learn more at OrthoSensi.com. But the girls' soccer sectional pairings, we are going to start in Class 1A, Sectional 45 at Rising Sun. This is going to feature South Ripley, Rising Sun, Oldenburg Academy, Switzerland County, and Milan. So a five-team sectional, and match one will be contested between South Ripley and the host Rising Sun. Match number two, number 13, Oldenburg Academy versus number 14, Switzerland County. Those are state rankings, and Milan will await the winner of the opening game between South Ripley and Rising Sun. So obviously, not a whole lot of work has to be done to get to the sectional championship and only a five-team sectional, but that increases the odds for all of our area teams in this sectional, which is all five of them. But that opening matchup between South Ripley and Rising Sun, it has been a down year for the Lady Raiders, still seeking their first win of the season. Rising Sun 4-5-1. They did play South Ripley earlier in the season. Actually, it was earlier this month on September 8th. It was a 2-1 win for Rising Sun. So this game looks like it can go either way. Rising Sun, very young this year. A lot of freshmen and sophomore. Their leading scorer is actually freshman Hillary Lambert, who has 7 on the year. And they'll be leaning on her and some of those other youngsters to potentially lead them to a sectional championship, as they'll have to go through South Ripley and Milan to get to the sectional championship. The big intriguing matchup in this sectional is number 13, Oldenburg Academy, versus number 14, Switzerland County, in match number two. And the winner will go directly to the championship game. And these two teams have obviously played well this season, ranked in the top 20 in 1A. Switzerland County with the better record at 9-1-2. Oldenburg Academy has maybe played a little bit stronger of a schedule. But you look at this Switzerland County team, they've only allowed 6 goals all season long. They are led by Raylan Capps and Hallie Archer, who have 17 and 14 goals respectively. Mackenzie Taylor has chipped in with 8 goals. They have 7 others that have recorded a goal or more. So Capps and Archer, they may steal the headlines. They may be the two players that opposing teams try to take away, but the Switzerland County team is talented all the way down the roster, and anybody is a threat to score at any time, which makes them a very dangerous team. There's actually a couple of teams in the area that are very similar, but based on rankings and records, you think the winner of the Oldenburg Academy in Switzerland County would be the favorite to win this sectional, but certainly there are some hopes there for South Ripley, Rising Sun, and Milan to play spoiler, and in a five-team sectional, like I said earlier, anything can happen. Taking a look at the next sectional of interest, a Class 2A Sectional 28 at Lawrenceburg, and the host Tigers will play match one. They are ranked number 8 in 2A. They will take on Connersville. Match number two, South Dearborn versus Rushville, and then you have Franklin County awaiting the winner of the Lawrenceburg-Connersville matchup in the sectional semifinals, as this is another five-team sectional, so certainly all five teams have to think that they have at least a little bit of a chance to get to that sectional championship game. Lawrenceburg should like their chances the most with that number 8 ranking. 9-2 on the season. They've won 8 in a row. 45 goals they've scored this year, 6 allowed. You can't discount South Dearborn in this sectional. 8-7-1. Bernadette Wisman has been fantastic for them this year with 24 goals scored. And Franklin County is not a cupcake either. 5-4-2. Obviously play in a very tough conference along with South Dearborn and Lawrenceburg. Looks like Connersville and Rushville may be a little overmatched in this particular sectional. But it is setting up where Lawrenceburg and South Dearborn could see each other in the sectional championship. Always fun when those two teams get together. They usually have very, very good teams that are highly competitive against one another, which makes for a match that could go either way. So that is a game we'd certainly like to see. And again, don't count out Franklin County, as they just have to win one match to get into that sectional championship. Right, next sectional, we want to talk about Class 2A Sectional 27 at Beech Grove. Again, we're still talking girls soccer sectional pairings, and this particular sectional going to feature the Batesville Bulldogs. They are ranked in the top 20 in Class 2A. They will take on Greensburg in the first game of that sectional, a big rivalry match anytime they get together in any sport. Batesville looking to be the favorite there. Match two will be the host Beech Grove taking on Indianapolis Cathedral, the number two team in the state. And then Heron is awaiting the winner of Batesville and Greensburg in the sectional semifinal. So I do see a path where Batesville can get themselves to the championship game, potentially playing number two Indianapolis Cathedral. That is never an easy task playing a team of that caliber, but we've seen in the past Batesville has been able to knock off really good teams. So again, this is a very intriguing sectional where you could see two ranked teams battling it out for a sectional championship. And if you're Batesville, that's the team you would like to beat to win the sectional. Sure, if Beech Grove wins, you might think that your chances are a little bit better, considering that you don't have to play a team as highly rated as Indianapolis Cathedral. But again, if you're going to be the best, you got to beat the best. And I'm sure the folks at Batesville want to take care of their first game first, take it one game at a time, get through Heron in that semifinal, and then play Indianapolis Cathedral to really test themselves and see what kind of soccer team they have. That should be a fantastic match if and when we do get that. Also in Class 3A Sectional 12 at Greenfield Central, the East Central Trojans got a nice draw here as they are already into the semifinals. Now, the first two games out at this sectional, you're going to have Mount Vernon-Fortville taking on Richmond. Mount Vernon is number 17 in Class 3A. You got New Pal taking on Greenfield Central. The winners of those two games will meet in the sectional semifinal, and then East Central has drawn Shelbyville in the semifinal. East Central is number 16 in 3A, 11-2-1 on the season. Scored 69 goals to this point and have only given up 5, and they are a goals-by-committee team, 3 with 9 goals. They're getting scoring from all over the place. Again, similar to Switzerland County, makes them a very dangerous team because the other team has a little bit more difficulty trying to determine what player or two that they are really going to mark up on and try and take them out of the game. But when you can get goals scored from just about any position on the field, including defenders, that makes for a dangerous team, and it's no question why East Central has such a strong record this year. But looking again at the rankings, Mount Vernon, East Central on opposite sides of the bracket. They're the most highly rated teams in this sectional, and could be a potential sectional championship at Greenfield Central. Want to get to the boys' sectional draw as well. The 1A sectional 45 at Jacksonville is going to be a very, very intriguing. 3 ranked teams in this sectional. It will all start with South Ripley versus Shaw Memorial. The Raiders ranked 15th, in 1A, 10-0-4. They have not lost a game this year, but they have drawn with Shaw Memorial twice this season. They also did defeat them 4-0 in a tournament game earlier this year. But Zach Gentile has been the story of boys soccer around here. 42 goals, setting the South Ripley single season goal scoring record. His main man, Ben Miller, has 11 goals and 23 assists. So this is a high-powered offense that can score in bunches, and Zach Gentile himself is averaging a hat trick a game. So anytime you play the Raiders, you got to try to hold him down. But they have tied with Jacksonville and Switzerland County here, two of the other really strong teams in this sectional. Southwestern Hanover and Rising Sun, the final teams, along with Milan, to make up this entire sectional. But South Ripley, Shaw Memorial, the winner there gets Southwestern Hanover or Rising Sun. Rising Sun, a team that you can't count out with Kendall Montgomery and Dylan Martin. They've been big-time goal scorers this year for the Shiners. On the other half of the bracket, Jacksonville, number 9 in 1A, taking on Milan in the first round. The winner of that game will play number 19 at Switzerland County. And then from there, there's a chance we see a couple ranked teams playing in the sectional championship as the bracket is really tough on either side because we mentioned South Ripley is going to take on a Shaw Memorial team that has played all of these ranked teams very, very competitively all season long. So that is a very, very intriguing sectional. Class 2A, sectional 28 at South Dearborn. The host Knights will take on Franklin County in the first round. If they win, they'll play Greensburg or Rushville. And then Batesville and Lawrenceburg already into the sectional semifinal. Batesville ranked 20th overall in 2A, Lawrenceburg up to number 10. That is a rematch of the sectional championship from last year that saw Lawrenceburg go on with a 2-1 win. I just saw over the weekend, this Tigers team has scored over 100 goals this season. One of the better teams that they have had in program history, and that is saying a lot because this Lawrenceburg team has won several sectional championships. They've moved past the regional into the semi-state on multiple occasions, and they are looking like they are primed for a big run this year. If they can get by Batesville already into the sectional championship, and then a good draw for South Dearborn. They might be the favorite to come out of the top, specifically playing on their home field. So could be a lot of fun. Might see Lawrenceburg and South Dearborn matchup in the sectional championship on both the girls and boys side. And then the Class 3A sectional of note, number 12 at Mount Vernon Fortville. Got that tangled up, didn't I? But anyways, the host team will take on Connersville in game one. You got Richmond versus Greenfield Central in game two. East Central will take on New Pow in game three, and if they can get past New Pow, they will move into the semifinals to play either Richmond or Greenfield Central. So intriguing sectional there as well. East Central's having a phenomenal year, 11-3, on their way to winning the EIAC, which is a very, very competitive soccer conference with the likes of Lawrenceburg and Batesville, South Dearborn, having some very, very solid teams this year. So that East Central team looks like they're primed to make some noise in that particular sectional, and we certainly wish all of our boys and girls soccer teams of local note good luck in the sectional. I know a lot of these teams still chasing a conference championship, which will be determined over this next week. You are listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi, Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Go online to schedule your next appointment or learn more at OrthoSensi.com. That is OrthoSensi.com. Do want to touch on high school football, not going to spend as much time on it this week as we're getting into the back half of the show. But this past Friday night, a big clash in the EIAC 4A division as we were out in St. Leon for East Central and South Dearborn, and it was all Trojans 42-7 to improve to 5-1 overall. They're now 2-0 in the EIAC 4A division. Just Connersville left on the schedule to bring home that conference championship. South Dearborn falling to 4-2 on the season, 1-1 in the 4A division. But the beat goes on for sophomore quarterback Cole Burton. He has really kind of gotten himself comfortable over these first six games. We didn't know what to expect from him coming into this season. He hadn't taken any snaps at the varsity level. But as we've come accustomed to finding out at East Central, is they never rebuild, they just reload, and Cole Burton is a part of that as he went 10 of 13, 222 yards through the air and two touchdowns. He's actually offering them a different dynamic that they haven't had in maybe a long, long time, as Cole Burton can certainly get things done with his arm, putting the ball down the field to the likes of Eli Aston, Nate Busing, Ryan Brotherton. That trio has really stepped up as big-time playmakers, especially with Josh Ringer continuing to be out nursing an ankle injury. The aforementioned Eli Aston has turned into a star this year as just a junior. Three receptions for 87 yards. He also had a touchdown through the air and a 91-yard kickoff return touchdown that set the tone for this game right at the get-go. So those two players, Burton and Aston, have really stepped up and kind of taken a stranglehold on this team, letting everybody know early that they are going to be two big-time playmakers that you can rely on week in, week out. Now, East Central's schedule is going to toughen up a little bit on the back end once they get through their EIAC games. They got Garen Catholic on the schedule. They're also going to play Ron Colley, who's the defending state champion. So we're going to see kind of where this East Central team is at over the next 3 weeks as they prepare to go into sectional play with the team very much in that sectional that they can't wait to play, and that is Mooresville. They definitely have something to say to that team who has knocked them out of the playoffs 2 years in a row. We hope that that matchup can come to fruition because that should be absolutely electric atmosphere. As for the Lawrenceburg Tigers, they are one game closer to winning the conference championship on the 3A side of things in the EIAC, a 34-13 win over Batesville. So it wasn't a perfect weekend for the Bulldogs. They did have a great weekend athletically, but Lawrenceburg getting the best of Batesville in this game. Moving to 5-1, they've now won five games in a row after the opening week loss to East Central. Batesville falling to 3-3 overall. They're 1-1 in the conference. Tigers only 1-0 in the conference, but they'll just need to beat Rushville to be the conference champion as they lost a game with Greensburg earlier this year due to a COVID situation. So they're only going to play two conference games. It doesn't maybe seem like much to celebrate, but a conference championship well in the sights for the Tigers as they'll face Rushville this week. But Garrett Yoon, nice game for the Tigers, 251 yards through the air, two touchdowns, did throw two interceptions, but had two additional touchdowns on the ground. Daya Patel has really been clicking with his quarterback, Garrett Yoon, over the past several weeks, eight receptions, 140 yards, two touchdowns. Travis Lecker, who is a fine quarterback for Batesville, threw for 193 yards in that game, two touchdowns and an INT. And Bryson Benelli, he had a bigger game than Daya Patel with 170 yards through the air and two touchdowns. So goes to show you what type of talent they do have at Batesville, as they got a solid team. That's a nice win for Lawrenceburg. As for the Milan Indians, falling 2-4 on the season, narrow loss to Eastern Hancock, 25-24. A little bit of a heartbreaking loss for Milan, who did hold a lead in that game at times. And this is all a part of a new schedule for Milan. We saw them play New Miami out of Ohio last week, dealt with them pretty handedly, and then you get an Eastern Hancock team that's pretty good themselves in 2A. So that's a good game for Milan, nice learning experience. They don't have a conference that they're playing in this year, so again, they're just trying to build towards winning a sectional championship, and they can take lessons from each game this year to apply to sectional play. I'm not saying that they like losing, but again, there's a much bigger picture there for the Milan Indians as the season rolls on. And for Franklin County, getting back to winning ways this week, 22-18 win over Greensburg. We will see Franklin County this Friday when they travel to South Dearborn. Should be a pretty good game up at Backman Field, and it's only right that it's Aurora Farmers Fair week, Farmers Fair weekend, that we're going to be at South Dearborn for their game. But Franklin County, South Dearborn, that is lining up to be a pretty good game, and whoever wins that game is going to end up finishing likely second in the 4A division behind East Central. But excited to get out to South Dearborn for that contest this Friday evening. And one other score from over the weekend: Eminence, Kentucky 59, Switzerland County 14. Been a tough go for the Pacers this season, and again, their program still really in its infancy. I believe this is their seventh year. It's been a little up and down. They've had some decent seasons, winning, you know, four or five games. But this year has not been the case. It's been a tough, tough go for Switzerland County. I have no doubt those kids, coaching staff, going to keep fighting, try to claw out as many wins as they possibly can the rest of the year before they get ready to head into sectional play. All right, just a handful of minutes left in the show. Want to get to Double T's Takes, and it was a great birthday for me yesterday. All I really wanted was the Cincinnati Bengals to defeat the Pittsburgh Steelers. That'd be my favorite team defeating my least favorite team, and it came to fruition. Cincinnati Bengals downing the Pittsburgh Steelers 24-10, their first double-digit win over the Steelers since, I believe, 1995, and maybe the first double-digit win on the road against the Steelers since 95. But anyway, you slice it, awesome performance from the Bengals yesterday. They physically dominated the Steelers. I will admit the Steelers were down a couple of players, including their star pass rusher, T.J. Watt. But nonetheless, the way the Bengals played yesterday was what we have been wanting to see from them for a long time. They kept Joe Burrow clean in the pocket. Jackson Carmen, nice job starting his first game as a rookie at right guard. Speaking of rookies, how about Ja'Marr Chase? A lot of haters out there, very, very quiet after his first three games. He scored a touchdown in all three games, and he has three touchdowns of 30-plus yards through his first three games, the first player in NFL history to ever do that. So Ja'Marr Chase living up to that first-round billing and making a lot of people kind of look silly right now that we're poking fun at him for dropping balls in the preseason and that he wasn't the right pick. Right now, he's probably leading the Offensive Rookie of the Year through three games. I know it's just three games, but you obviously see what Ja'Marr Chase can do for this offense. And how about the defense? The Bengals spent $120 million to revamp this defense in the offseason, and it has certainly worked out well for them through three games. Logan Wilson, my goodness, picked off Ben Roethlisberger twice yesterday. They held down the Pittsburgh rushing attack. Didn't really give up much through the air as well. This defense is firing on all cylinders, and that's a great thing to have, especially when Joe Mixon's running the ball really well on offense, 5 yards a carry. This Bengals team has played really well through the first three games. Probably would like to have that Bears game back, but with Jacksonville looming on Thursday, 0-3, Bengals are coming home. Ring of Honor is coming out on Thursday for the first time ever. Crowd's going to be pumped up. This team's got a great chance to go 3-1 through their first four, and that is a great, great way to start the season. On the flip side, the Cincinnati Reds, their season effectively done. Entering today's contest, they were still mathematically able to make the playoffs, but the St. Louis Cardinals have won 16 games in a row, so the writing's on the wall for the Reds. They did extend manager David Bell's contract. I'm okay with it. I know there's probably some folks out there that are saying, well, he didn't get the job done, couldn't get us to the playoffs this year, so maybe it's time to get rid of him. I know folks have a little issue with his lineups, how he uses the bullpen, but this Reds team has played okay this year. They battled through some adversity with some injuries. I like that they're going to keep David Bell around so he can continue to try to keep building. I think more of the issue with the Reds organization is their willingness to go out and be aggressive and either spend money on free agents or make trades to bring in some top talent to get this team over the top. So I don't think David Bell is the issue, so I'm okay with him staying. As for FC Cincinnati, they fired their head coach, Jaap Stam, today. He has just not had a great record with this team. Is it his fault? Maybe, maybe not. Do they have the right players to win games in the MLS? Don't know that either, but I can tell you this, as being a season ticket holder and somebody that watches this club on a week-to-week basis, they play uninspired soccer, and that has a little bit to do with the coaching. Jaap Stam has a defensive background. This team wants to be a possession-based team. They very, very rarely play on the front foot, which is just them trying to attack and be aggressive as possible because they're so afraid that they're going to get caught out in the counterattack and get scored on. That they lack aggressiveness going forward. And, well, guess what? This team gets scored on anyways. So I direct that problem straight at the coaching staff. They're going to have a new GM coming in, a new coach. I know it's going to be their fourth or fifth coach in just their third year of being in the MLS, but something's got to change, and eventually, hopefully, they will get it right. It's similar to the Cleveland Browns situation. How many head coaches did they have before they finally gotten it right? So just keep trying until you get it right, I guess, in the case of FC Cincinnati, which is a little bit different than the case with the Cincinnati Reds. And finally, one last note. I said last week that UC is going to go up to South Bend and knock off Notre Dame. I am sticking with that statement, despite Notre Dame looking very, very good against Wisconsin over the weekend. So that's what I'm leaving you with. Appreciate you tuning in to Crunch Time. It is presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. We'll do it again next week, 6 to 6:30, right here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3.